Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this day, help us to not try and get ahead of ourselves. And help us to not lose this day by thinking back and trying to rearrange things that have already happened that can't be fixed or changed. But help us to live in this day and do the best we can with it, being present with you and knowing even more that you are present with us. So, Father, in that presence, help us to find life and help us to live life. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, it's amazed me lately how, you know, a time has come more and more obvious to me. You know, do you ever have it where you just kind of know time is there? You know, I thought back, you know, when I was a child, you know, if you talk to a little kid and you say, well, how old are you? If they are, you know, 3 and a half, they at best say 3 and a half, but most of the same, I'm almost 4. But when you talk to somebody who's in there, like me, I'll be 69 next year, you say, well, how old are you? I say, I'm in my 60s. You know, you look at things different. I mean, remember back in the day when, you know, are we there yet? And now when I think about tomorrow, I think it's the 80s. I mean, I just can't keep track of time. I realized the other day that even the way I, in a sense, relate things are, you know, now with all the things that have happened to me since, you know, 14, you know, with the knee replacement, the hip replacement, and the broken leg, you know, when people say to me, when did that happen? I say, well, wait a second. I know it was around the time I replaced my knee. That would be 14. And I keep track of time now with body parts. I mean, it's crazy. And yet, how many of us do it? Because that's the context that we were living in. You know, I had to say that because in the gospel that we have today, the beginning of the gospel, as you just heard me read, reads like this. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturnea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. I mean, think about it. If you had to have all that stuff to tell time, what size watch would you need? I mean, you couldn't do it. But so why is it that in Scripture, in spiritual matters, so often they do that? Why is it? I think it's because when time comes into spiritual matters, you set it in the sense of the context that you were living in, not just in the year that it happened in. That when you think about things that are going on in your life, whether they be positive things or negative things, you set them in a context of what was going on around in the world at the time, what was going on in your environment at the time, what was going on. Think about your life. You may not be able to remember the exact date, but you can remember the setting, the feelings that you had while things were going on. I started to think about that when I looked at these scriptures more in depth. And I realized that it was quite interesting because of the fact that what I see in spiritual matters is that we don't so much measure time as we mark time. Now, I know that you're going to say, well, there's a lot of holes in your hypothesis, Jim, and there probably are. But think about it for a second in that means. Measuring time versus marking time. You know, when you measure time, basically what you're doing is, you know, it's time served. I mean, it's being in prison. I mean, how many of you live by a very harsh schedule, an agenda during the day? I mean, you have to sometimes. But how many of you live where, you know, if you go through your whole day and at the end of the day, if you've gone and you could check everything off on your schedule, whether you did it well or not, doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, don't you say,
had a good day today, got everything done.
Doesn't mean you did it well, but it means you got everything done. How many of you live by an agenda? I mean, we're coming into Christmas, you know? How are you going to live that? You know, I mean, how many times does the world tell you, there's only 21 days of shopping left? That's measuring time. And measuring time like that somewhat locks us into, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. And it's less about quality and more about quantity. But marking time is different. Marking time is not where you serve your time, it's where you have time to serve. Time to serve. I don't know about you, but I watched a lot of George H. Bush's funeral this past week. What an incredible guy. I mean, let me just say, I love some of the quotes. The one I think I love the most was, the one from the senator from Wyoming. I can't remember his name right off the top. But Simpson. Yes, right. Mark Simpson. And I loved it. He said, there are a few people that take the high road of humility. In Washington, it's not really heavily traveled. But I thought to myself, I wonder how many people here, in the world that we walk, the people that cross our path, how many people would say of us that we take the high road of humility? George H., he only had one term. But I'll be real upfront with you. He got a lot more done in that one term than a lot of people who had two terms. He got things done in ways that were magnificent and wonderful, and he was willing to sacrifice himself politically at times because he thought that was best for the country. That's where all of a sudden he said, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to try and bring things together. I'm not going to separate it off. It's not about winning. It's about living up to the light that's within me. And he did that as a bright shining light, as the sun would say, shinest of all. And the points of light, he was one that stood out. It was all about, really, about a life where he served. He cared about others. And it's all about where, in a sense, I believe, he didn't measure time saying, oh my God, I'm running out, I only have one term. It's where he marked time. And in that one term, he did so much and so many things. And even after he was no longer president, he continued to serve. You see, measuring and marking change in one area. It's because in measuring, sometimes we edge out, because of our own egos, grace. But when we mark time, all of a sudden we let grace come in. What's it going to be for you? Are you going to mark or are you going to measure? The gospel's real clear that they mark time. They set the context. In the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, and basically blah, 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 and all that stuff, and when, in the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And then it says, and the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, what happened to John? John was then sent out with a purpose to proclaim the good news. And in the process of him proclaiming the good news, he was also given his identity. Now, he didn't have it fully. If you look at the story of John the Baptist, even in the limited scriptures we have, John the Baptist sometimes struggled within himself. You can see that when he comes to Jesus while he's in prison, just ready to get executed. Are you the one or was she looking for another? There are scriptures that say he's struggling. But nonetheless, he's in the process of moving towards embracing the fullness of identity. He's in the process of embracing the fullness of his purpose. When you mark time, you can be open to the leading of God for that in your life, whatever it may be. And in that process, you're transformed. It's in coming into your purpose and coming into your identity that you are transformed, as you heard me say before, from a little bit less of what you are right now and turn into a little bit more of what you ought to be. Or if you don't believe me, look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says very clearly in the reading from Philippians today, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Whether you like it or not, a process was begun in you. Are you living it out by embracing your identity? Are you living it out by embracing the purpose that you are set here to live in? Or are you simply measuring time till the next thing that you get to? Christmas is here. What will you do with it? Will you be there saying, well, we've got to do it this way, and we've got to have the tree set up this way, and we've got to do this, and we're going to have dinner, and these people better come? Are you going to get all upset when they don't do what you want to? Or are you going to say, I'll take whatever I can get, and I'm just so grateful that I'm with them? You know, is it about quantity of time with your kids and your grandkids, or is it about quality of time with your kids and your grandkids and the people that you love? Do you look to sort of say, yes, I got Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with my son this year. It was quite magnificent. We really didn't talk about anything because we can't talk about politics. He's in a different place than me. And you know, watching the news, he didn't want to watch the news that I wanted to watch. So we just sort of sat there. Yes, the weather is nice today. What are you going to do? Is it going to be quality or is it going to be quantity? Is it going to be serving time or is it going to be having time to serve? Is it going to be where you look for the betterment of someone else rather than your own need? Are you going to measure or are you going to mark? In the 15th year of the emperor, when so-and-so was governor and so-and-so was a priest, the context was set so that John the Baptist got it upon his heart, embraced it upon his heart to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to serve in a way that will change the world, even if it just starts in a little bit. I'm going to go out and I'm going to embrace the identity that I know God has put upon me. I don't have it perfected. I'm not going to have it perfected until the day of Christ Jesus. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to have him mold and shape me as I go through taking 5 steps forward and 3 steps back. But I'm going to put people first. I'm going to care about the people who cross my path, and I'm going to give of my heart. As you come to the Christmas season this year, the time when we proclaim the very presence of God with us, Emmanuel. I'll never forget what Emil Brunner said, the great German theologian. He said, when God became like us in Jesus Christ, it was like he got on his hands and knees to play with his children. Will you play with him? Will you enjoy him? Will you simply be? And from that being, embrace all that God has for you and the blessing that God has ahead of you. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you prepare and get fed and enriched to be energized, to go to embrace your purpose, embrace your identity, be transformed in the process, and look for the coming of Jesus Christ in a more powerful way than ever before. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me. We believe in one.